Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We continue our sermon series, Find Us Faithful, that is looking at the book of 1 Timothy. This Sunday will be in chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4 says, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. What pleases God is when people become one of His children by obeying His word." The church has a responsibility to pray for the lost and to tell them about Jesus, our mediator, and who paid the ransom to set us free from our sins. We'll focus on praying for everyone, including our leaders, living godly lives, and growing in our knowledge of Jesus this morning. Romans 13:7 says, "Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." God commands us to obey and pray for our leaders, whether we agree with them or not. Since it is an election year, our country even needs more prayer than usual. "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His powerful word that is at work within us, in Him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Thank you for listening.
Let's stand this morning for our call to worship. Grace to you and peace in this new year.
We will bless God who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing.
In Christ we have obtained an inheritance.
We have been redeemed as God's own people. Praise be to God. Amen.
Our first hymn this morning is Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Senior choir sings Come Just As You Are.
Thank you.
Gantemeyer reads our scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Find Us Faithful More Than We Deserve.
Today's first scripture lesson is from Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 to 16. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and had called me through his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I may preach him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with flesh and blood. This ends the first scripture lesson. Our second scripture lesson is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And you he made alive when you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind, so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. This ends today's scripture lessons.
Thank you, David. Thank you, choir. What a beautiful song. Come as you are. I want to say thank you to David also for being part of our men's Bible study out at the Crossroad Plazas the first Friday of every month. We had about 20 guys out there this past Friday, and it was really a great time of sharing men from all walks, from all different churches, and just a really great time to share and fellowship and have some biscuits and gravy as well. So it was just a good time. I encourage you to put that on your schedule for next month in February, 6 o'clock in the morning out there at the Crossroad Plazas. This series we're going to be starting, we're going to be in the book of 1 Timothy for the month of January. If you want to read through the book, 6 chapters in Timothy. And we're going to be looking at Paul's story today. Paul's story, he repeats it several times through Scripture because it's the basis of his message. It's the basis of his life. He knew exactly where he was at. He knew the direction he was headed in. And he knew how far away he had strayed from God, that God brought him back. And so when he thinks about this, he tells his story not to brag about where he was at, but just to be reminded of words that we kind of use all the time, but maybe we've never fully grasped them. The words of mercy, the words of grace, the words of love, the words of faith, the words of sin. And what sin does to our lives and why we need the mercy, the love, the faith, and the grace of God. And the title of this sermon this morning is More Than We Deserve. More Than We Deserve. I don't know how many people have ever had ice cream at the Creamy and Eldon. Raise your hand if you have. All right. Best stuff around, isn't it, Beth? All right. When we, you know, anytime we're driving through Eldon, when the kids were, you know, playing ball or doing something, we would always have to stop at the Creamy and get a twist cone in a cup, all right? And we would order the small. We would order the small back in that day, and the small would be, you'd think like this, the small would be like this, more than what we deserve, all right? I don't know about inflation and other things in the last 3 years. Their small has shrunk about like this and gone up in price, all right? But back in that day, it was more than what we deserved. That's why we had the cup, because a lot of times we couldn't eat it fast enough before it would melt down the cone. But it was more than what we deserved for sure. And like most men in this room that are married or have been married, our wives are more than what we deserve. I know in my case, that's exactly what it is. More than what I could have ever expected, more than I could ever deserve. And when we look at this passage here, and we're going to be in verses 12 through 17 this morning, Paul writes about these words that have probably, we've heard 100 times, thousands of times in messages and Sunday school. We've read through them, and hopefully today as we read through them one more time, there'll be a little bit more clarity to them, a little bit more depth of understanding to understand the gift that's been given to us and how mercy and grace and faith and purpose bring us into a brand new year. Because I think until we understand the depth of where we were at before Christ came into our lives, we can never fully comprehend the grace and the mercy and love of God. Paul understood that. And that's why he wanted to make sure people knew that of his story, because he knew the struggles that he had in life. He knew very clearly in his mind the sins that he had in his life. And I know that there had to be congregations and churches that he started, that there would be relatives in the audience of people that he had put to death because of their faith in Christianity. I know that their faces and their words probably came to mind as he would be traveling, thinking about his former life. But I think sometimes in our Christian walk, we kind of treat our relationship with God transactionally. That if I do this, God is obligated to do this. But when we look at grace, mercy, love, and sin, God's under no obligation. No obligation to establish a relationship with us because of anything that we've done. It's because of his great love that he shows us mercy and grace. And so if you'll turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to start with verses 12, read through verse 17, and we're going to look at the depth of sin. We're going to look at grace and mercy, how they go together, and then we're going to look at the purpose that we have now that we've been saved by grace. Paul writes, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy. Because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly. My cup runneth over with it, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He says, you all know my life. I even changed my name because my name was associated so much with death and persecution. But then when we look at his life, we need to realize the cost of sin and what it cost us, and the reason that God puts a premium on forgiving sin. Paul's testimony, he talks about, and he's very clear about the shortcomings he had in his life, and he reminds himself of that day on the road to Damascus, that he was headed again to kill more Christians and put more Christians into prison, when God, for some reason, when Jesus, for some reason, stopped him and glared that light and made him a servant of the God Most High. At that time, Paul realized the cost of the sin in his life. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is separating us from a holy God. Later on this summer, we're going to be doing a series in the book of Romans, and we'll go more in depth into this subject and the whole things that go along with it. But we see in there that Paul reminds us that all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And he uses some words to remind us. You know, we look pretty good today, man. I look around, I see people probably wearing some things they got for Christmas, you know, and maybe you got some cologne or you got some perfume for Christmas, man. You're going to wear it today, and people are very happy that you are if they're sitting close to you. And, you know, you put on a good appearance. But no matter what appearance we put on, we all have fallen short of the glory of God. Paul uses these words here in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 to let us know exactly where we stood before we met God. He says, you see at just the right time when you were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us that in while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Ungodly, powerless, sinners. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin, if you continue down the path that Paul was going down, the wages of sin is death, permanent separation from God himself. Paul realized at that moment and later on in life that if he had continued down the path of pursuing the highest levels of Judaism, the highest levels of the Pharisaical belief system, that if he would have died before he met Jesus, that he would have been eternally separated from God and spiritually dead. Romans 5:10 says it this way, "For if while we were still God's enemies, we were reconciled through him through the death of his son." Paul wrote the Colossians, "Once you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." And Romans ends it this way, chapter 2, verse 5. "But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath." Before we meet God, before God sends Jesus into our life for us to respond and we accept his forgiveness and his love, we are considered ungodly, powerless, dying in our sins. As Dave read in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "While we were dead in our transgressions, while we were chasing after the things of the world, God sent his son, and it's not of yourself, it's a gift of God." The picture that we can put in our minds is of the thief on the cross. He had nothing of redeeming value. He had no one that he could talk to. He had done nothing in his life of saving, redeeming value, except for a few words he spoke to the Savior. "Remember me when you go into your kingdom." God's love, God's mercy, God's grace. That is the picture of each one of us, humiliated, broken, powerless. And the only hope that we have is the saving and loving God makes some provision for us to have a relationship with him. That's where mercy and grace come in. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Paul tells us that sin deserves death, sin deserves punishment. Titus 3:5, when Paul writes Titus, he says, "And view, he saved us not because of the righteous things we've done, not because of the songs we sing or the Sunday school lessons that we teach, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit." 1 Peter said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope." Mercy is the forgiveness of sins. Mercy is cleaning the slate. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. We deserve eternal separation because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But God sends us mercy. He wipes the slate clean for us. Mercy saves us from our sins. Grace brings us into the presence of God himself. Because grace is getting what we don't deserve. We don't deserve to stand in the presence of a holy God because of the life we live, the thoughts that we have. Mercy forgives us. Grace brings us into the presence of God himself. I read a book this week. It's by Max Lucado. It's called Grace, More Than We Deserve, Greater Than We Imagine. And he uses this illustration about how mercy and grace go together. And he had talked about Ruth and Boaz. He says, not just mercy, mind you, he says, but grace. Grace goes beyond mercy. Mercy gave Ruth some food. Grace gave her a husband and a home. Mercy gave the prodigal son a second chance. Grace threw him a party. Mercy prompted the Samaritan to bandage the wounds of the victim. Grace prompted him to leave his credit card as payment for the victim's care. Mercy forgave the thief on the cross. Grace escorted him into paradise. Mercy pardons us, grace woos and weds us. Mercy forgives us, grace brings us in the presence of God. Mercy forgives us, grace calls us a child of God. And it's not just limited to a few, it's available to all of us. This great gift that he gives us, the Holy Spirit. He not only forgives us, but he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit to remind us of the presence that is there. And because we have that grace in our life, we're not only just forgiven, but we're brand new. Paul wrote to the Corinthian people, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here." And you say, "Well, Rush, you don't know my story." Paul would say, "Yeah, I do. Did you murder anybody? Did you send any Christians to the prison? Did you have any Christians, you know, killed right in front of you? Did you have someone lay their coat at your feet like he did for Stephen? I know exactly where you're at. God's grace is greater than any sin that is in your life. Even those sins that nobody else knows but you. Even those sins that you would not share with anyone because of the humiliation that you think it would show that you'd be the only one that struggles with that. At our men's Bible study on Friday morning, we had a couple men share things that they said they would never share in front of a group. But they knew that was a lie that Satan told them, that you're the only one that struggles with this sin. And they felt the power of grace when they released it and they were forgiven and prayed for with a group of men that surrounds them. Mercy forgives. Grace brings us prayers of blessing. And when we have that grace in our life, we are to give grace to others. The parable of the unforgiving servant. A great debt that he could never pay off. His master forgives him. He goes out and has a guy that owes him a few bucks. He won't forgive him. The master calls him back in and says, unless you forgive from your heart, I'm not going to forgive you. See, mercy forgives. I think we're good at mercy. I know I'm good at mercy. I'll forgive people. But it's the grace part that's the hard one, isn't it? Grace is when we pray for good things to happen to the person that hurt us. That's grace. You know, mercy says, I'll forgive you, but I'll avoid you. Mercy, I'll say, you go on your way, I'll go my way. Grace is when we pray blessings, prayers of blessings upon them. And then Paul, when he read this verse here, he says, you saved me for a purpose. You appointed me to your service. You took someone who was broken and far away and gave me a purpose to share your message with those that are around us. That's the same for each one of us here. You have people in your life that you're the only ones that can share mercy and grace with. But I think too many times we think of our faith and our salvation as something we put up on a shelf and we look at it, it collects dust, and we don't use it. Paul writes to the Ephesians, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Each one of you have been saved by mercy, you've been saved by grace to do good works. Who can you show forgiveness to? Who can you show grace to? And to live out the purpose that God has for you and for each one of us here this morning. The most known verse, for God so loved, that's what prompted his mercy, that's what prompted his grace. We think of the worst sins in our life. Paul tells his. The woman at the well, she more than willing to share her. She had been married 5 times and was living with another guy, but she was excited to find someone that had released her from that prison of self-doubt and humiliation. Mercy forgives. Grace calls you a child of God. Think about that. Think about the worst thing that has ever been happened in your life that you've done to somebody else, that you've never forgiven yourself for. God has. And because of that, he calls you a child of the Most High. We receive that through our forgiveness, through the Holy Spirit coming in and making us brand new and giving us the purpose to live for him. Do not believe the lies of the evil one that says that you're not worthy or that this life is not worth it. Give God your past so he can change your present and your future. And how do you do that? You believe in the one that was sent, Jesus Christ. You change your lifestyle. Paul got new information. Paul was headed in his church. You would consider him religious. He was doing everything that his church was saying that he needed to be holy and righteous. When he got new information, he changed his direction. That's repentance. And then he confessed Jesus as Lord. And as Acts 22:16 says, arise and wash away your sins through baptism, calling on the name of the Lord. And through that, we get the forgiveness. We get the Holy Spirit. We get the mercy. We get the grace. We get the faith and the love. The song that I picked this morning is Amazing Grace. No better way to start off a new year than reminding ourselves that this new year is not going to be like the old year. I'm not going to let the lies of the evil one take away my faith and my desire for the Holy One. The book, the hymn was written by John Newton. Everybody knows the story. He was a slave ship captain. And when he realized the direction he was headed in, the need that he had for the gospel, he wrote Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me. That same grace that was available then is the same grace available now and is available tomorrow until the day that we walk into eternity. Let's sing this morning, praise God for the grace that He's given us.